Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it. Now, to say that you dodged a bullet is an understatement. George, would you like to let everyone know what happened at the weekend?
I didn't go camping.
You did the right thing. You made the right call.
Yeah. Oh, do you know what? I was actually, if you was going to dob me in it and make me look like I'd like ducked out, I was going to play the voice note that you left me on Saturday morning being like,
do not come.
Don't come. There's like mud everywhere. There's water. I mean, you didn't sell it to me.
No.
And Gigi, who can't cope with the wind, and my husband, who wears carrier bags over his shoes when he goes to the park to avoid any mud. We're just not set up for that kind of thing.
So I'm gutted that we didn't get to spend the weekend together because I was so looking forward to it. But let me just, I'll just fill you in. If it had not been raining, it would have been the most beautiful weekend. The campsite was set on a beautiful field, gorgeous view. But it was torrential rain, basically from start to finish, apart from a few hours on Friday and a few hours on Saturday. And because of where we were, the position of the field, at one point I was lying on this blow-up mattress and I could just see water gushing through the bottom of the tent.
Oh,
it was like
a
river. People, I could hear our mates being like, oh, bedding's soaking. One of their little girls woke up on the floor, and because the floor was so wet and inside, she was soaking wet. I mean, so we basically just decamped to the pub on Saturday. You can imagine how drunk we got watching the Lions game. And then it was like 6:30 and we were like, oh God, we have to go back to the campsite and see what's happened. So, I mean, you made the right choice. Let's go somewhere hot, okay?
I was going to say, I am up for camping, I promise you. I am actually up for doing that one time.
One night.
No, I am up for it. I got my head around that, and actually, I'm sure it is fun. If we can make the weather be sunny, then that would be great.
We'll see if we can have a word with the weather chat. Yeah. When we got back yesterday, though, can we talk about sex life? Not my sex life.
Oh my God, I've watched all of it. I've watched the whole thing.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, I've watched all of it. This is the first time you've ever said to me, have you watched something?
Yeah.
And I've said yes.
Yes.
Because normally I say no, but I have. I've watched all of it. It's brilliant.
Okay, so I'm only one episode in, so we won't. And for anybody listening that hasn't watched it yet, we won't make any spoilers. But, oh my gosh. The positions that she was put in the first episode. Wowzers. I was like, that
just
pause.
Just wait.
Oh God, I can't wait.
My husband, when he walked in, he's like, oh, you're watching your porno again.
Oh, Judgy James.
Well,
at
I tried
it
to
again.
Watch it with him. I thought it would be like we could watch it together. And he's like, no, this is for girls.
This is for girls.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of across the board in my friend's WhatsApp group. It does seem to be more of a thing that women like to watch.
Actually, to be fair, we started watching it together last night, me and Doz, and then he fell asleep after about 10 minutes. Yeah. I was like, "Are you going to sleep?" He was like, "Just listening." Well, for girls or not, I absolutely loved it.
I loved it. And wait, just wait. I'm excited for you to watch it all.
Did you have a nice dry weekend?
Do you know? I had a really nice dry weekend.
Yeah, I saw you.
We didn't do loads. I'm not going to make you too jealous, but we did. We just had lots of nice food out. We went to a place called Love Your Home, which I will talk about when my sofa arrives, because I was so impressed by it. This isn't like an ad or sponsored or anything like that, but just we're looking for all sorts of house stuff at the moment, like Yuzo, and it's really hard to find things in the right sizes and the right everything to be exactly right, and everything is bespoke, and it's no different to if you were going to order from Loaf or any of the others in price,
right?
But you can have have all of your sofas and chairs made to the exact size and specification that you want.
It's called Love Your Home.
Love Your Home. It's really close to you. It's in Godalming.
Yeah, that's so really close to us. Yeah.
Yeah, it took us quite a while to get there, but so worth it. So if anyone is, you know, doing their house up or looking for new sofas at the moment, I highly recommend.
Was Gigi with you for this?
So that was a different thing. So when we got in there, she basically just, it was like a tornado in the showroom,
yeah,
dashing across the sofas. You know when you're like, don't put your feet on the sofa, and then by the end of it you're like, okay cool yeah, as long
want.
As you're not drawing in permanent marker over the sofas, then we're all right, we're
fine. Yeah, do what you want.
I wouldn't recommend taking kids, that's the caveat.
Fine. Never to a sofa shop, it's never a good idea. Listen, we need to get into today's chat. A beautiful conversation actually from somebody who I thought might be sort of like super outgoing and running kind of loud, and you know, because I've watched her on The Only Way Is Essex, and I had a sort of preconceived idea about, you know, the sort of person, but actually very shy, really like sort of gentle and really honest and really open. It was a really raw chat, just like really, really beautiful conversation around her confidence and how she's been feeling as a mum, and just really great, wasn't it, George? Really lovely conversation.
Yeah, it really was. And sometimes, you know, we go into these chats with an idea of what we might talk about, and actually the conversation takes a completely different, like, turn, really.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, we discuss things that, you know, we hadn't planned on talking about. And she does get quite upset in the chat, which, again, we hadn't expected. Mm. But I hope, you know, anyone listening to this will, you know, enjoy it, maybe not expect this kind of conversation.
Yes.
So
George, who are we chatting to today?
Today we are chatting to Chloe Lewis.
So joining us on the podcast today, I've got a feeling we're going to really get on with this girl from the chats that we've already had so far. Mum to Beau, she burst onto our screens, I can't remember how many years ago, a fair few years ago now, on TOWIE. Now she has been living over broad, influencer, blogger, businesswoman. This woman does it all. Welcome Chloe Lewis to the podcast.
Hey everyone!
Yay!
Chloe, let's go back to your entrance into TOWIE, because I think a lot of people listening to this will have seen it, will have watched you and kind of watched your journey and watched you grow up on screen. So how was that process? Talk us through the highs and the lows, the best bits, you know, the bits that really sort of challenged you about being part of like the biggest TV show at the time, right?
Yeah, it's a funny one, because I was always quite quiet, and when I got approached by TOWIE, I was a bit like, no, this really isn't for me. I didn't really have the confidence to do it. I just wasn't that person at all. And at the time, like, ex-boyfriend went on it, and I thought, no, do you know what, I'm going to go for it and see how it works out. And it surprisingly changed me for the better, I would say, because I was always quite quiet. I'm not overly confident anyway. I think people think that I am, but I'm not. I didn't think that I would like it as such, but I feel like it brought me out of my shell, and I was always wrapped up in cotton wool as a child. So I think obviously you get things thrown at you that upset you, and you get put in certain situations where friends are like disloyal to you and things like that. And it sort of made me
grow a pair,
sort of come into the real world. Yeah.
And so I guess you grew up and I don't know, you can't, I guess you grew a thicker skin being on the TV show.
Yeah. I changed as a person. I really, really did. But I'm not putting up with this anymore. No, yeah, it did. It really changed me as a person. And listen, I struggled through TOWIE, as in I was upset all the time, and mental health-wise, I really struggled. My anxiety was through the roof. In the end, that's what made me come off of the show, because it was too much.
Right.
And I do feel passionately about mental health. And when I, like, see certain things about Love Island and things that come out about TOWIE, and I'm like, there wasn't enough support. There wasn't. I've never been that outspoken about it or ever. Yeah, obviously I don't want the backlash from it, but at the same time, it's such an important thing. It's pressure. It's pressure of people, because you are this person on this reality TV show, that you should be doing certain things. You should be seen here. You should be doing that. You should be a certain person. And I wasn't that person. I was just little Chloe Lewis from Salford Abbots that got picked out to be on the TV show. Do you know what I mean? So I found that really, really hard. I really did. And I did for years after, if I'm honest. Just being so, my life being so public, I suppose. But you sort of learn to control it. And then I decided that it was too much for me and that I needed to pull myself away from it. And I was actually pregnant with Beau at the time. So I just thought, you know what? Time to change and leave and become a mum. So yeah, that's sort of what was the turning point for me.
What was it like when you had that conversation, you know, with your partner and said, are we going to have a baby here? Are we ready for this? Are we doing this? Or where were you guys at when you made the decision to become parents?
Well, for me, in my life, I had got to the stage in my life, I'd had a really long relationship beforehand, and I was always really maternal. So when I met Danny, I was so happy and we were so in love. He was my best friend and I couldn't believe that I felt this happy with someone. And I just thought to myself, do you know what? We either get married or we just wanted the next step, I suppose. Marriage just felt a little bit too, I don't know what the word is, but, and then we spoke about having a baby and I was like, I either have one before I'm 30 or we wait and have them later in life. So yeah, we decided to go for it.
Go for it. I love how you guys decided that marriage was a bit like, marriage.
There's so much to it. There's the wedding, like, and obviously we wanted to buy a house. It's money as well. So we just decided that baby was the best thing. And when you're happy with someone, I suppose that's the biggest commitment, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, what do they say about life? There's certain things that you can change in life, but babies, death and taxes are the only certainty. You know, once they come, they ain't going anywhere.
How was your pregnancy?
Oh my God, you know what? I had the best pregnancy. I think they say this with boys though, don't they? I felt amazing. Like, when I look back now, I wish I'd enjoyed it a little bit more, but I think when it's your first pregnancy, you're anxious anyway with like things that can go wrong. And Beau was an identical twin and I lost him like 10 weeks into being pregnant. I lost the identical twin, so there was loads of worry, do you know what I mean? So but yeah, I had a really good pregnancy. When I look back, I hadn't put on much weight. I love being pregnant, I did, but I just didn't enjoy it as much as I should have.
Chloe, can we touch on the fact that you lost, you know, one of the twins? So did you know that you were pregnant with twins?
No, so I found out on Danny's birthday that I was pregnant, so I gave him the pregnancy test, and then obviously you don't have a scan straight away, do you? How far gone are you when you have your first scan?
I think it's 12 weeks,
yeah. Yeah, 12 weeks, you don't. So, I think it was a couple of weeks, it was 7 weeks in, and I had heavy bleeding, and you sort of know in your own head as a girl, I think, it was abnormal. So I was like, I've lost the baby. I was really upset, booked in for an emergency scan, took my sister with me to the scan place because I thought, if anyone sees me going, I hadn't told anyone I was pregnant. So if anyone sees, my sister was pregnant at the time, so I thought I could blame it on her. Got in, sat down, and she started scanning me, and she was like, oh, right, so there's one baby, and there's two babies. And I was like, no, honestly, you just don't expect it because you try for a baby and you're lucky to have one. And then she told me there was two. I was like, what? My sister nearly fell off the chair, bless her. She said, the only thing is one of the embryos is a lot smaller than the other one, and the sac's smaller. And she said, right, I want you to leave here thinking that you have only got one baby. She said, because it's really common, it's called vanishing twin syndrome. And she said, the chances that you come back and there is two, she said, from what I can see, in her own head and her own experience, she said, I think you've only got one here. So I had to wait another 3 weeks to find out if I had one or if I had two, which was hell. Obviously I went back, she told me that I had one. And I grieved for 3 months, weirdly. I was so upset. Sorry.
No, not at all.
Yeah, it's sorry.
Do you know what? We've spoken about baby loss on the podcast a lot, actually, with a lot of different women who've had lots of different experiences. But actually, this is something we've never spoken about before because, you're grieving the loss of one child while growing and preparing for another. Yeah. And that must be really confusing.
No, it was horrible. It was horrible because Danny was so supportive. But when it's you and it's your body, you feel like you've done something wrong. Mm. Like I was still exercising and things like that. So you think to yourself, oh, if I hadn't gone to that class or I hadn't done that, would have that made a difference? Or you sort of blame yourself for such a long time because you think I've obviously done something.
Yeah.
So I grieved for, I think I grieved for about three months. But I didn't know anyone else that had dealt with it either. So everyone was like, Chloe, some people don't even are lucky enough to have one child, but some people don't even get to have a baby. And I was like, I know, and you're making me feel bad, but I'm not grateful for the baby that I've got. But no one understands what I'm feeling because obviously there is people out there that have, but anyone around me, I didn't know anyone that had been through it. So it was really hard, really, really tough. And even today, like obviously they told me that the baby was identical. So even today, obviously I see Bo and I think to myself, oh, bless him. Like, I love him to a million pieces. Imagine if there was two. Mm. It's a strange feeling.
And I imagine as well, Chloe, with people's comments, trying to make you feel better by saying, oh, but it's okay because, you've got one baby and. Yeah. I don't know, tell me, but maybe those comments, you kind of find it difficult to take those comments because like George just said, you've actually lost a child.
Yeah, it's such a strange thing. I can't even explain it. And I don't think you can unless you felt that way.
Yeah.
You've got to be, and then to be fair, Danny was really, really good with me. And he was just like, Chloe, as much as it's so hard for you and listen, he was upset as well. But at the same time, you've now got to try and move on and be happy for the baby that you've got and grateful for the baby that you've got. Like he really pulled me out of my hole at that time because obviously my sister she's like obviously so good with me, but I needed that strongness from someone to tell me that you need to like enjoy this now. This is what it's going to be and this is what it is and you need to just move on. I think it took me about 3 months. And then obviously I saw scans and things like that. And you sort of, once you see an actual baby, you do feel differently. But I think at the beginning where you don't see anything and there's nothing to, you almost don't feel like there's anything in there on your first pregnancy.
You don't start to bond, I guess, do you really?
No, you don't.
I mean, some people do, I'm sure.
No, I didn't. I didn't through the whole thing. Because I used to see these scans on the screen and I didn't know if I was having a boy or a girl either. I didn't find out. And I used to see the baby on the screen and I used to think, no, that's not in my belly. I felt like that throughout the pregnancy. And I said it to my sister and she was like, that's quite normal for your first baby. I was like, okay.
Yeah, of course it is. And who were you talking to at the time, Chloe, when you were going through that? Were you public about this on social? Did you do any interviews? Were you chatting to people online?
Yeah, I found it quite comforting to speak about it. So I'd done a shoot with OK Magazine because I thought, I only really ever do like things like in the public when it's going to support and help other people because that's what we should do. Like, for example, when Bo had to have a helmet when he was born and I didn't get paid for any of it or anything, but I promote that, like I pushed it out there on social media because I thought no one really knows about this flathead syndrome. And I'll speak about that in a minute, but no one knows about it. And the stuff that the people that came back to me was like, my baby's got this, I didn't know it was a thing and blah blah blah. So I wanted women to think and or know, find it comforting that Chloe Lewis went through that once upon a time, if they ever do go through it.
Yeah.
And that it's quite normal.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more.
and it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So tell us a little bit about Beau's diagnosis with his head.
Oh, well, basically, I had such a traumatic birth.
Oh, let's talk to us about the birth first.
Yeah, tell us about the birth.
I don't really know why it was traumatic. It just was. More so, my mum says, obviously, I just thought it was horrendous anyway, but my mum's obviously watched my sister give birth to three children, and she was like, no, yours was a different ball game. I was like, really? No, I went in at 4 centimetres. I was with the NHS. And they were amazing. I asked for an epidural early. I was meant to be having a water birth, but that didn't work out. Asked for an epidural early. They didn't come round and give it to me, so I was 8 centimetres. It was 8 centimetres. And then she was like, right, we're going to start pushing now. And I had like about 15 minutes where I felt quite calm. And I remember having a laugh and a joke with Danny and my mum. And then when I came to push, I was like, I can feel everything. Is this normal? Like, I could feel everything. She was like, she whispered something to my mum, and I was like, oh my God, what? And my mum was like, I don't think the epidural's worked on you, Toad, but let's just go with it, come on. And no, apparently it just didn't work on me.
No way.
Well, I think it's like 1 in 10 women that it doesn't work.
Yeah, I've heard about this.
So yeah, I pushed for 2 hours.
Oh God. Oh God.
So he got stuck in my birth canal for such a long time that it shaped his head.
Right.
So when he came out, bless him, it looked like literally half of his side of his head had just been cut off. And it was sort of came over to one side, which my sister's little girl was quite similar, but not as bad. So I didn't get upset about it or worry about it. I stayed in for the night. And then when I came out, there was this girl on Instagram that my mum followed, Rhea, and her little boy Rudy. And she, why don't you just like ask her about these head things? She had, little boy had a helmet. And I was like, oh, mum, I'm not doing that. I was a bit embarrassed about it. I was like, Bo can't be walking around in a helmet. That people are going to think there's something wrong with him. She was like, Chloe, it's probably for 6 months of his life. And why don't you just look into it? So I did. And everyone kept going to me, oh, his head's fine. He's a boy. He's going to get hair. And I used to think, yeah, I know, but it is really bad. So I messaged this girl on Instagram, bless her, she came back to me with answered me so many questions.
Wow.
And yeah, I ended up getting him a helmet, bless him. And he wore it for 2.5 months. But his head completely changed in that time.
So the helmet reshapes the formation of the skull.
Yeah.
And because it's so soft when they're little babies, it's quite easy to change the shape.
Yeah, I think you can only do it up to a certain amount of months. You can have physio and things like that, which I did do, because he had a thing called torsiculus. He had like one short muscle in his neck and one really long muscle, so I had to have physio for that anyway. But yeah, the helmet thing was amazing. I couldn't believe it when he had it. No, I mean, it was a struggle because they have to sleep
in it. Yeah, trying to get him. Yeah. Do you have to sleep in it?
They have to sleep in it. 24 hours a day they have to have it on.
I don't think there's enough information around that process about what can happen to kind of, like you said, baby's head, or because when Kit, my youngest, was born, he came out on an angle. So he like really, really injured his, sort of pulled his neck. But that really affected, obviously, he was super uncomfortable and he couldn't say to me, oh, look, the side of my neck is. But that was to do with the fact that he was in the birthing canal and came down on a funny angle. And there just wasn't any information about it. And then someone messaged me on Instagram saying, I just said, like, I can't put him on his, he just wouldn't sleep on his back. He wouldn't go in his pram. He wouldn't sit in the car seat. You could tell. And it was like, and someone said, why don't you take him for a here we go.
Cranial
osteopathy. Well done, George. Yeah. That's why I love
you.
You
got there in the end.
Yeah, that's it. And it really, really works. But I hadn't even heard of kind of baby physio or baby massage during my pregnancies.
I actually don't think there's enough support with things like that when you come out of, especially when you're a first-time mum.
Yeah.
There's not enough support with it. Listen, the NHS were amazing. Giving birth, they were amazing. The after bit was amazing. But I just think they checked him over. His head was black. His head was black from the bruise. It was black. The end of his head was black. And there was no like, look, listen, I know it can't be on the NHS all the time, but I think sometimes there should be sort of an aftercare where you can be like, these are the options that you can go through if you want to pay, if you want to do this. There was just none of that when I left. But I left worrying, as well as being a new like a first time mum. He had reflux, so there was just so many different things. Yeah, I cried every day for about a month.
Yeah, of course you did. Of course you did.
I know mums do, but yeah, there was just so much that I thought I knew that I didn't, because my sister had children and I'd always been there. And I just, yeah, it was tough time.
Do you know what it is? It is a lot. And you're so right, as in the midwife comes round and she'll make sure that, you know, the baby's feeding, the baby's putting on weight. But actually, there's so many other things. Like, we've spoken about reflux a lot. They mostly, you know, most of the time the midwife just says, oh, it'll be fine. You know, they'll settle down. They're just young.
Yeah.
They're, you know, that they've got their digestive system hasn't quite developed yet, so it'll be all right. And then you have a baby that screams all day long and you think, well, no, I've seen babies out there and they're just asleep and they're quiet, so this is not right.
I think it's important to say as well that we I mean, in terms of midwives and what they do, they've got not only you to go and see, but they've then got, you know, however
exactly.
many other people on the other side of it, and the care that the midwives give is unbelievable. Like, I couldn't have got through the first couple of weeks without my midwife coming around, and just knowing that she was coming when my husband was working was like a real support. But yeah, like you said, I mean, is there anything that can be done in terms of giving that little extra, you know, information and support? Sure.
Well, it's the education as well, isn't
you
it?
You do have the aftercare, the people that come to, like, obviously I was just on the NHS, so I just had the normal thing. I didn't have anything private, or I didn't even have a private midwife or anything that came to see me. Yeah. I just wanted to do it the normal way.
Yeah, health visitors come around. Yeah,
yeah, health visitors came around. But Even the health visitors, I just felt like they wasn't, like, I thought Bo had a milk allergy, but the things that they was asking me to do, like go to the doctors, take a poo sample, do this, do that, it was just a lot for when you're a new mum. So even to get out of the house with the baby at first, like, I just feel like there should be a little bit more support with that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense.
I guess, you know, if we're all, like, all of us as parents are more informed of these things, then if we, you know, if we know about something, then we can see the signs and we can say to the doctor or we can say to the midwife. But unless we all have these conversations and talk about the things that can happen, none of us are going to know, are we?
Well, we wouldn't have known about the reflux thing, George, would we? No. We had Alison Scott Wright on the podcast, who's the reflux queen. And with our, you know, Georgia had a bit of reflux with Axel. He had a little bit, didn't he? And then when Kit came along, he had severe reflux, sounded like Bo. But if I hadn't had that the podcast and had the conversation, I would have been completely in the dark. And it was only because I knew that I banged on the doctor's door and said, this is not right. He has got a milk allergy. I know he has X, Y, and Z. Can you give me this? Can you give me that? And they were like, oh, she knows what she's talking about. But I imagine a lot of parents don't know.
No. I mean, I must have tried, I think I tried like 4 different milks. I tried 5 different size teats. I mean, I went through so much. You go through so much stuff, don't you, to actually try and find what's right for you and your baby.
Tell us the signs, Chloe. Tell us what was going on with Bo at the time with his reflux.
Yeah, so I would feed him. Yeah, but he was then quite sick. God, it feels so long ago now. I can't even remember. He couldn't sleep on his back. He had to lay on his side. I used to have to hold him up like 20 minutes after he fed, which obviously doesn't sound that bad, but when you're 2 o'clock in the morning, all you want to do is feed and pop him straight back down to sleep. He used to screw his legs up in pain. He used to make a noise, actually. He used to make like a I can't really remember the noise. It was like a, almost like a bunting noise, I think he used to make from the
It is.
It's like uncomfortable.
It's like this. It goes like
He used to make this noise, I remember. So it was just difficult. it was difficult. And then I remember one time I said to my sister, I went, can you just have him for just one night? And she was like, okay. And she had him, well, she's got three children already. She had him for the night. She went, oh my God, Chloe. She went, I completely understand why it was all good. Because she obviously she had not had that with any of her three. So she, it was just a different, a whole different thing.
Yeah, and then you know, don't you?
Yes.
What did you do at that point? Did you go and speak to your doctor and say, this is what I think, what are you going to do?
Yeah, so I took a poo sample and I took the sample and it came back that he didn't have an allergy, but they'd already given me the goat's milk to start on because they said, obviously, by the time the results come back, but when I put him in the goat's milk, he absolutely stank. He didn't smell like a baby. And I was like, he can't be on this. I can't have him on this milk because he doesn't smell like a baby. All I could smell was this, like, awful. Have you smelled goat's milk?
Yeah, Luna's on goat's milk. Do you think he's got a funky smell?
Yeah, it has.
Is it?
Yeah.
A bit goaty. Yeah.
A bit goaty.
Oh, what's that? Is that a goat? That's my child, actually. It's not Billy.
Yeah. No, anyway. And he wasn't any better on it. So I then put him back on the normal milk. I was on Actimel at the time. And then one of my sister's friends said her friend had, had a really bad allergy. She'd done loads of tests, went to the Portland, went to here, went to there, and came back and said the best milk to be on is HIP organic reflux.
Yeah.
So that's what I ended up putting him on. And he was absolutely fine.
It's crazy,
yeah,
isn't it?
Because that's still a dairy protein. So the chain of the protein, the way it's formed and the way baby breaks it down is still the same. So that's amazing that you didn't have to go on any sort of dairy free.
No.
Yeah.
No. So I think it was just that the milk was too thin and that he didn't have an allergy, but I don't really know. I don't really know, but it really, really helped.
That's brilliant.
And I kept him on that for about 6 months, I think.
But it does go to show that sometimes it is trial and error. And although I know you have to be careful switching milks and all that kind of stuff, just talking among friends, like, you know, one of my friend's sons was on anti-reflux milk. I think Alison Scott-Wright got him on that. And then my daughter Gigi, this sounds so ridiculous, but she could only ever have the pre-made. So I had to just buy this. And now she'll only drink milk. Like, obviously, she's two now, so she drinks cow's milk. But I have to froth it because she doesn't like that consistency.
Georgia, she wants to go to a barista and get it done in the pot. Like, Georgia, you come on, mate. You've got to stop frothing her milk.
No, but, you know, I couldn't, like, I would give her cow's milk just, warmed up. But because of the texture of the milk that she was used to when she was on formula, it must be that she doesn't like that texture. She wants more like a thicker texture, I guess.
What are we doing for our kids? It's only going one way, isn't it? No, it's so true, isn't it? It's like, oh, I only have my milk froth.
I have to, otherwise she won't. Well, she could just probably not drink it. Well, she could not drink it now. She's two, so I should probably just tell her to do one, but I don't, obviously.
That's interesting. Are you two, because Kit's a bit older than Beau and Gigi, are you guys still giving them milk at night? I'm really interested about this. And we've just cut it out of Kit. His bottle before bed, it was like a comfort thing. He didn't need it. He just wanted it. And then about a month ago I was like, no, the cows have run out of milk, and he was like that.
Had his bottle until he was three and Gigi was born, and he realized that she was drinking out of a bottle, and he was a bit like, oh, she's a baby, I don't want this anymore. But Gigi, I mean, I guess there's like no, it's not causing me any dramas, I'll just continue.
No, Bo's nearly two. He still has four bottles a day, but he doesn't eat.
Four bottles a day?
Yeah, but it's a lot. It is a lot. But he doesn't, because of that thing he had in his neck, it caused him to not eat. Yeah, because of the torticollis in his neck, it caused him not to eat. So he struggled for ages. Like everyone was weaning. Babies that were saying, we're weaning and eating different things. And I was like, the only thing he'll eat is porridge. And he still does now. That. He only eats porridge and toast.
Love, that sounds like a great diet.
He won't eat anything else.
Beige diet.
No, it's terrible. Yeah, I know. God, I feel bad. But he's fine and he's huge. Do you know what I mean? So I'm not worried. But yeah, he still has four bottles a day, though. He's quite a baby, though, I think.
How old is he? 19 months?
23 months.
Yeah, so he'll be, two in September. And what are you basically ramming everything that you can in that porridge? Like, we were told you can grate carrot into it, you can do this one, or is it just...
No, so he will only eat baby porridge. Like, actually, like, normal baby... Yeah, he won't eat, like, normal porridge.
Right.
I know.
Oh well, he's massive, growing big, and yeah. He'll suddenly turn around to you and go, "Mom, can I have a fish finger for God's sake?"
I know.
Give me a double cheeseburger.
Another thing you do as a mum, don't you? I was like, he doesn't eat. All these kids are eating like spaghetti bolognese and this and that, and you do stress about it. But I just think he's not going to get to like 4 and not eat. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or even 3.
Yeah,
don't worry about it. It will come. Yeah.
And if you did put anything else down in front of him, what would he do? Would he just pick it up and chuck it on the floor or just say no?
Oh, yeah, he just picks it up from his seat and just drops it by the side of him. Yeah.
So annoying, that's isn't it, when you do that?
Yeah, oh gosh, don't.
Yeah, that's why I think I'll just stick with my porridge and then I haven't got to clean up after.
I mean, at least you're not having to spend hours making different dinners.
No, I know. I know. It's quite easy. It is easy.
I think they do it on purpose. Like, I'm not a good cook, Chloe. If you listen to the podcast, you'll know that George is the chef, aren't you, G?
I am.
Yeah, she loves it. She loves nothing more than tinkering around in the kitchen, pulling out the spice. Is that how you say it? Is that the proper chef word? No, it's probably
that
more
tinkering. That makes me sound really odd.
Yeah, but you do. And then, but I don't. So when I do, I'm like, oh, this is great. I've made a really big effort. And my kids are just like, Kit just goes, it's his favourite meal, spaghetti bolognese. And he'll just go, no, hate spaghetti bolognese. And I'm like, why would you say that to me, you little arsehole? Like, you know that I hate cooking. I've just cooked this for you and you say you hate it. You love it, eat it, and then he'll eat it.
It's taking me hours. Yeah.
And Chloe, talk to us about, you know, you've got a fashion collection with Style Cheat. So talk to us a little bit about, I guess, how your style's changed since you've become a mum. Or if it has, might not have even changed.
Has it changed? Yeah. No, sorry, I'll go back to Style Cheat. So Style Cheat, the girls approached me to do a collection. Lovely girls, by the way, loved working with them. And when they showed me the collection, I was like, you know what, this is really nice. It's nice for new mums. It's nice for mamas-to-be. Like, it just suited everyone. It's colourful. There's just stuff in there for everyone. You can wear it to the beach, you can wear it to work, you can wear it daytime, day to day. So yeah, when the girls approached me about it, I was like, no, do you know what, it's I've always got done different things and this is different to what I've ever done. So yeah, it's great. It's so good. Honestly, the stuff's amazing, the dresses are so cute, and I think they've had a really good reaction from it. So that's,
yeah, I mean, I've seen it and some of the stuff's lovely, especially, you know, beautiful. Like, if you, like you say, there's stuff you could probably wear when you're pregnant. There's stuff you could wear if you're breastfeeding. There's stuff that you could wear if you're not feeling that confident.
Yeah, or just stuff like I wore that beautiful gingham dress the other day with the beautiful little cap sleeves, and I got so many compliments on it, Chloe. So, we really do love.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah,
love the costume. Yeah, just feel like you can style it how you want to style it, like. You can wear boots with it. You can wear sandals. You can put your own little style to it. So, yeah, I was really, really pleased with it. Really, I love it. Yeah.
And tell us what's next. What else have you got coming up?
I just sort of just take each day as it comes. I think it's funny because I think people think that I'm like busy all the time, but I am just busy being a mum. I know you're quite business headed though, aren't you, Zoe? I feel like
George is the business headed one. I love that. No,
are you not? I feel like you are.
Yeah, I'm quite ambitious. I think is probably I love.
Yeah, you are ambitious.
My career comes first, not before the children, but are equal. No, I'm joking. Right. No. Like, I obviously love the children more than I love my job, but I think it's for me, I'm not me without my job. If that makes sense.
Oh,
and
my God, it's that important. Yeah.
But George is the business head.
I agree.
I'm the business.
She is.
The chef, the business one, tinkering
around.
And
that's another thing. That's another thing when you become a mum, you have to just try and balance everything, like work as well as being a mum. Like, it's hard. It is really hard. Mm. Well, I think it is anyway. So I just take each week as it comes. I have like little shoots booked in and bits and bobs. And things to look forward to, but I don't sort of like put too much pressure on myself.
Chloe's quite zen, I think, George.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, no, like I said before, I struggled with anxiety so badly when I was on the show and years after as well, that I think just you've got to be happy. You've got to do what's right for you. And if you find things too much and, you know, I just think, yeah, you just have to sort of do you.
Yeah, Absolutely. And what a great role model you are to Bo saying that as well. You know, you just got to be happy and do what makes you happy.
Yeah, the little shit is the one who's changed my life. I'm joking.
Chloe, I feel like that's a lovely point to end the conversation. Thank you so much for coming
on.
It's been an absolute joy.
Thank you.
Chloe Lewis. I loved that chat for lots of reasons, but I really felt like we saw the real Chloe there. And actually, I'll be completely honest, I had a bit of a preconceived idea that I thought she'd be maybe a bit more sort of like show business, you know, just a bit more kind of,
I know exactly what you mean, but actually, it was just like
shy,
chatting.
Quite shy.
She's quite shy. It's just like chatting to your mate. And I feel, I hope she enjoyed talking to us because she, you know, she obviously felt comfortable enough to open up. And you actually heard her get quite upset, which is hard because, you know, we want to talk about these, you know, these things, but we never, ever want to upset anybody.
No, of course not.
And I hope that anyone listening who's been through something like this will find some comfort in Chloe opening up about it and actually talking about grieving for one child while you're also
growing another.
Pregnant. Mm. Yeah, that must. And do you know what as well? When she said, sometimes I look at Bo, like she said, today I looked at Bo and I, because he was an, it was an identical twin that she lost. And she thinks, oh, there would have been two. And that is really hard. Mm. That's a lot to deal with, but it sounds like she's got a great support network around her, and she's obviously doing really well now.
Yeah, she is. I loved the way she felt she could open up to us about that, and I really like the way she said that she feels that she has to use her platform for good, for kind of normalizing, which is what hopefully we're trying to do with all these conversations as well. So she's definitely got her head screwed on the right way. We like Chloe. Now we are going to be back out on Friday, but before we go, we would just love to ask that you give us a little follow. Also, if you could rate, review, and subscribe. Or follow the podcast, that would be absolutely amazing. We love reading your reviews, so if you haven't done one yet, it would be amazing to do it because it does help spread the name of the podcast around a little bit, get more eyes on it.
It does, and also it gives us a warm, fuzzy feeling because some of the comments are so lovely and it just really sort of cements why we're doing this. So it's really nice to read. Thank you so much for everyone who has already reviewed. If you have got any suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover or people you'd like to hear from, then please just drop us a DM on @MadeByMamas or on Zoe's channel @ZoeHardman, and we'll be back on Friday.
Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the wonderful Imogen Hart.
Insanity Group.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.